Well, good evening. My name is Cindy Satter, and I'm so glad that you stopped by to take a look at my blog today and to see what is happening at Cooking at the Creek. Cooking at the Creek is a blog site that is inspired by my love for cooking and my love for the great outdoors. And throughout this blogging journey, I've been able to bring to you, the reader, some of my most favorite topics as well as some of my most favorite recipes. My most recent blogging series was a series on vintage cookbooks. I love cookbooks. From the time I was a little girl, I can remember hopping up in a kitchen chair and reaching way up to my mom's cookbooks, which she kept on top of the refrigerator. I would pull down the Betty Crocker cookbooks, I would look at all the pictures, and I would look forward to the day that I was old enough to start cooking myself. Now, my mother, even though she had cookbooks, she rarely used them. She really cooked most from inspiration and creativity. My most recent blog series is on vintage cookbooks. I think I mentioned that earlier. And I posted 4 of my most favorite cookbooks on this blog series. The first one was the Fanny Farmer cookbook. If many of you may be familiar with that, but Fanny Farmer, she was a Boston native, and she was actually a very sickly person, and she was incapacitated for a great part of her life. And that incapacitation is really what led her or inspired her to find ways of cooking that helped during convalescent care. And she really wanted to stress the importance of nutrition in our diets. The Fanny Farmer cookbook first debuted in 1896, and there have been many versions through 1979. If I had to venture a guess off the top of my head, I would say there are easily 9 reiterations of the Fanny Farmer cookbook. Apart from including or introducing convalescent care cooking styles and nutrition in the American diet, one of the more prominent introductions in the Fanny Farmer cookbook was the use and standardization of measuring cups and spoons. A lot of people may think that those germane things in cookery have always been, but actually they were first introduced with Fanny Farmer. And also the idea of leveling measurements in cooking. If you've ever watched cooking shows, you will see that seasoned cooks, when they scoop up a cup of flour, sugar, any type of spice or seasoning, they will always level that cup or that measuring spoon out. Because baking and cooking is so much of a science and a chemistry that you really want to make sure that you are measuring those things accurately. Well, we can thank Fanny Farmer for bringing those great things to us. The second vintage cookbook that I noted in my vintage cookbook series was The Joy of Cooking. Everyone who cooks or has made a life of either cooking as a novice, as a hobby, or professional cook knows the vintage cookbook, The Joy of Cooking by Irma Rombauer. Now, Irma Rombauer, she actually lost her husband early on to suicide, and she was left to raise small children on her own, and at the time, she only had $6,000 to her name. So she knew quickly that she would have to find a craft and something that she can make money at. So in 1936, Irma penned the first edition of The Joy of Cooking. And this cookbook is revered by world-renowned chefs as the best cookbook ever printed. Now, that's a pretty high accolade, but it has certainly earned that accolade, honestly. If you've ever thumbed through The Joy of Cooking, you will find that most editions are generally 1,000 or more pages, with over 4,000 recipes. So it is from start to finish a cook's guide for cooking. Some people even refer to it as the cook's Bible. Not only is it full of wonderful recipes, but also cooking techniques, cuts of meat, different definitions for cooking, sauces, etc. If you want to learn to cook and you know very little about cooking, I highly recommend The Joy of Cooking. It will introduce and educate you to all things related to cooking. It's actually a wonderful book to read, even if you're not searching for a recipe. It's just that informative and educational. Rambara, she produced her fourth and final edition of The Joy of Cooking at the age of 69. And she was a pioneer of her time and a forward thinking, I would say, because she included a clause in all cookbooks to follow in a contract with the publishing house that any further editions would fall specifically to her daughter, and she would ensure that The Joy of Cooking remained in her family for generations to come. As I finish speaking about The Joy of Cooking, I do want to point out that Julia Childs, she actually had several editions of The Joys of Cooking in her cooking library, and I think that is a pretty high tout and lofty accolade as well to The Joy of Cooking. Anyone who can help educate and lend a helping hand to Julia Childs' cooking certainly has bragging rights. And then the third vintage cookbook that I chose to blog about in my series fell to Betty Crocker. Who can think of vintage cookbooks without thinking of Betty Crocker? An interesting point to everyone listening is that Betty Crocker is actually a fictional character. Betty Crocker is synonymous with advertising, recipes, foods. The Betty Crocker brand actually owns many foods that we see in our grocery shelves today, but it is a fictional character. But nonetheless, an entire empire has grown from this fiction. I was visiting my family in the Virginia mountains at my brother's mountain home earlier this year, around July, and we went to a book sale. And I was fortunate enough to stumble upon a 1956 edition, a fourth edition, of Betty Crocker's picture cookbook. And the focus of this edition was to provide beginning cooks back in the 50s with actual pictures of recipes that would inspire them and help them to visualize what that finished product might look like or that finished dish. And not only does this particular picture cookbook provide step-by-step instructions for cooking and pictures of the dishes, but it also shows table settings, where to set silverware dishes, the silver, the crystal. It also shows holiday table settings with your ideal menus. For instance, Christmas, you might see your ham, your stuffing, you might see your vegetable side dishes that complement the ham, you might see your punch, various pies. So Betty Crocker was able to take it from start to finish and help any cook, again, seasoned or novice, to pull off the perfect dinner party. And that was a pretty big deal back in the 50s and 60s when those types of events were paramount. Today, we have a much more convenient way of doing things, but we won't go into that. Otherwise, this podcast could go on for quite a while. I do want to close the podcast in talking about the fourth vintage cookbook that I did include in my most recent blog series. And that is the Modern Family Cookbook by Meta Given. This is going way, way back. The first edition of the Modern Family Cookbook was published in 1942. And if you have a moment to Google this cookbook, I would certainly recommend that you do. It's actually very nostalgic. It uses lots of language in its introduction to allude to the woman of the home, the woman in charge of cooking, the Mrs. Homemaker, and it always presumes that the homemaker is married. So this book was written in a time that is much different from our modern families today. The modern family today looks nothing like envisioned back in 1942. Again, this cookbook, as all great cookbooks, has multiple iterations, but the prevailing philosophy or fundamental structure behind this cookbook is given to the thought that food should be nutritious. And Mehta provides us for the first time back in 1942 with recommendations for daily intake of diets. Her main focus is on fruits and veggies and proteins, which, while the ideal description in her mind of the modern family has changed significantly since she wrote this book, the nutritional value that we should intake as people every day has not changed. So that is very comforting to see that we have those staples throughout history. I also specifically enjoyed reading The Cook's Creed in the Modern Family Cookbook by Mehta Given, and I would like to end my podcast with The Cook's Creed. You can see how, as a society, we have changed over the past 75 plus years. The Cook's Creed goes like this. The health of my family is in my care. Therefore, I will preserve as far as possible the nutritive elements in the foods which are delivered to me. So obviously we're looking at a time when food was delivered, specialty foods such as meats, seafoods, dairy products, etc. The second tenement in the Cook's Creed is, my family's enjoyment of food is in my care, therefore I will preserve and enhance the attractive qualities of the foods with which I work. Stretching the food dollar is part of my responsibility, therefore I will take such care of foods that none will spoil. I will use leftovers with thought and skill. Now that's a novel idea given today. Some people turn their nose up at leftovers, and they certainly don't take care with their foods such that none will spoil. So again, very nostalgic thoughts here. Moving along, the next tenement in the Cook's Creed is, a well-prepared dish and an appetizing meal are a creative achievement. Therefore, I shall derive happiness from work itself. Wow, that is a much different approach to how we might feel when we get home from work and have to make dinner. We certainly don't always feel that we will derive happiness from that work itself. And then lastly, the final tenement in the Cook's Creed states that, good food is of prime importance to my family. Therefore, I shall take pride in doing an outstanding job of cooking. I can relate with this particular and final tenement because I take pride in doing an outstanding job of cooking, and I do the very best that I can, specifically when I'm cooking for those I love. I'm sure you may have heard the slogan, cook for those you love. Show the people that you love them by cooking for them. So that is a very basic and easy thing that we can do. Okay, so this ends my podcast on vintage cookbooks. Again, I thank you for stopping by, and I ask you and invite you to continue to check out my blog. Take care. Bye-bye.